to send our horse we home to home sweet misery. We knew when we got here, they tried to put us away. But when they see us walk down the street, they ran the other way.
That's free in liberty, yeah. That is free in the whole USA.
It is July 16th, 2015. Welcome to episode 105 of the Gerwick Report podcast, the GRP, the podcast that tells it like it is. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerwek.net, Gerwick.net since 1997. Your source for all your pro wrestling news. Definitely check it out. And let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's going on there, Steve?
Well, it's been a while, and a lot has transpired in the wrestling world. But then, as we were just talking offline, not really all that much has been going on.
No. I mean, you know, we've taken a little bit of a hiatus here. The last show that we did was the Dusty Rhodes tribute show. And pretty much we just kind of disappeared from the podcast scene for a little while. And, you know, the more things change, the more they actually stay the same. And that's exactly what's going down. It's pretty much, you know, same stuff, different day.
You know, something I want to tackle first here, Frank, is the lack of accountability in the business today. We have a situation right now with WWE. We've talked about this at length, at nauseam on this podcast. The ratings are in the toilet for WWE. And people will put on different spins to say, well, you know, Frank, since the 90s when wrestling was booming and we had the Monday Night Wars and all that, there's more cable networks out there. Every cable network has a sister network. There's multiple ESPN channels. There's multiple Disney channels, etc. There's more to watch. There's Netflix. There's Hulu. I saw what Seinfeld's now on Hulu. You can watch reruns on demand all the time. You've got movies that one click away, and that, yeah, you would expect that maybe the decline of the business and wrestling in particular should not really shock anybody. But I'm thinking today, Frank, where is the accountability from WWE standpoint? And I also want to talk about TNA as well, because we're going to talk about their TV situation here, or maybe the lack thereof. But a couple weeks here, Vince McMahon will do a conference call, as he always does, for the quarterly report, and he'll give an update on how the WWE Network is doing in terms of total subscribers and how the business is going to be doing overall. But you've been a part of these conference calls with the financial reports, the quarterly reports. I mean, you heard of, there's going to be no hard questions for Vince McMahon. Nobody's going to ask him about television ratings. Nobody's going to ask him about lack of character development. Nobody's going to say, well, Vince, you tout NXT, but at the same time, where's NXT producing all these big stars that are household names? Where's NXT producing the next Steve Austin's, The Rock's, et cetera, such as we saw in OVW, which, by the way, OVW is just being sold now, which is kind of a sad situation with Danny Davis. But where is the accountability really in wrestling today? You know, TNA doesn't have to really answer to anything. They did their conference calls with their talents, update them on the situation. But I don't see Dixie Carter doing a real town hall meeting or a real interview where she answers these really tough questions. Maybe she can't contractually, but just in general, Frank, where is the accountability, say, from the WWE's perspective, that I don't see Triple H answering some of these questions. I don't see Stephanie McMahon answering questions about the ratings. We've heard that USA Network now feels that wrestling's in a cycle, which, Frank, what took them so long to figure that out? You know, we see Raw get a 2.6 when we were used to seeing Raw get 5.4 and 5.6 and 6.0. I guess this is what they have to tell their advertisers is, hey, you know, wrestling's it's cyclical business that the popularity's down right now. But I just really wonder, where is the lack of accountability in wrestling today?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, you mentioned right there about why, you know, Stephanie McMahon or Triple H or Vince McMahon are not answering these hard questions about the ratings and talent development and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What about bottom line is, Steve, and nobody out there really has the balls to ask them these questions. That's the reason why they're not being answered. Yeah, I mean, these conference calls are pretty much, you know, investor relations is all they are. I mean, they're going to go on there and get the questions as it relates to the network and the volume that they're getting for the network and how much profit they've made and what's going on with home video and live event attendance and all that type of stuff. But they're not asking questions as far as it relates to the show about how come this guy isn't over, how come that guy isn't over, why is wrestling in such a downward spiral? I mean, you know, USA Network is basically saying now that they believe that wrestling is in a downward spiral simply because of the ratings for Raw, the, you know, the, in my opinion, the complete failure of this season of Tough Enough. It's basically because wrestling is just boring. Wrestling is just not the end thing right now. I mean, I think that, you know, today's business, as we've seen with, you know, different TV shows like Lucha Underground and Ring of Honor, and even to a certain extent, you know, TNA and WWE, I think the matches are better. The action is better in the ring today as opposed to the popular Attitude Era. But it's just, you know, at the end of the day, man, people are just not asking these questions. I mean, Dixie Carter doesn't have to answer a damn thing because her company is not a publicly traded company. She doesn't have to answer nothing, and she doesn't answer anything. I mean, she sugarcoats things on her Twitter page and sugarcoats on Facebook, but she never really, you know, interacts as far as, say, Dixie, when's the new TV deal going to be announced? Say, Dixie, are you guys, you know, being canceled off Destination America? Nothing ever comes up. You know, hey, Vince, what's the real situation going on right now with Daniel Bryan? Is his injury career threatening? Is will he ever wrestle again? Those questions never get answered, Steve. And that's the reason why we don't know.
I believe one time on the conference call, and this was with the CM Punk situation was going on, where, you know, he left with the Royal Rumble. Somebody asked him about CM Punk. He's on a sabbatical.
Right.
So where is the accountability from this company? I mean, you said, you know, WWE is publicly traded. TNA is not. They don't have to answer the tough questions. You know, somebody asked Dixie Carter on a conference call one time about pay-per-view numbers. Are the pay-per-view numbers being reported in the media accurate? And she says, for the most part, no. Okay, then what are they?
Right.
They don't have to give an account. They don't have to prove anything. I listened to a conference call, a couple weeks ago with Kurt Angle and EC3. Is before the match they did on Impact. And they were talking about Impact Wrestling on Destination America. They were talking about the upcoming TNA Slammiversary pay-per-view. Frank, you can listen to this conference call. It's at Gerwick.net. Where was the tough questions? They asked him a lot of fluff questions about Kurt Angle and his – and I will say, to a certain degree, they asked him a lot about – what about WWE? Would you ever go back to WWE? Are you open to WWE? But for the most part, what was the number one question right now surrounding TNA? It was their TV situation. Nobody really knows what's going on with the TV situation, other than, I guess, maybe Dave Meltzer, who spelled it out pretty clearly to say that they're going to be losing Destination America. But here's a situation where two of their bigger stars in TNA is on a conference call, and nobody ask them one question about Destination America.
Well, you know what, Steve? Honestly, I mean, we don't know if the people who were participating in this conference call were told ahead of time not to ask any questions about the TV deal.
They weren't, because I got the press release.
Okay, well, there you go. I just said these people just don't have any balls to ask the tough questions.
It's like, Kurt, when are you coming back to the UK? And this is another thing about the wrestling media. I mean, a lot of times we don't have access to the bigger stars. The wrestling media itself does not get a chance to interview Vince McMahon. The wrestling media doesn't get a chance to talk to Stephanie McMahon. The wrestling media never talks to Triple H. The wrestling media, for the most part, doesn't get a chance to talk to Dixie Carter. I mean, here and there, she may pop up for an interview, but what's the last interview she did? The Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. So for the most part, she doesn't have to answer these questions. But here was a conference call with the wrestling media, quote unquote, and a lot of it was just fan related. You know, hey Kurt, I'm a big fan of yours, and EC3, you know, you're a big star on the rise. You know, why didn't you get over in WWE compared to TNA? Which are legitimate questions, but you know, when I listen to that conference call, the most pending question or the most obvious question would be, what about the TV situation? And maybe from their perspective, they can't really say anything. But again, I just want to know, where is the accountability right now with TNA? We're hearing today, Frank, that I think Dave Meltzer's report was spot on. It looks like in September they're going to be losing Destination America. They're saying they're cutting down. They've gotten rid of most of their big-name talent. James Storm has been released. Bobby Roode is gone. We lost Austin Aries, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, they're in a real tough situation. They're telling everybody, well, you know, we still have international TV deals. That'll keep us afloat. But, you know, the future of this company looks very bleak. And, you know, she goes on Steve Austin's podcast. And one thing she really harped on, because I heard the first part, everybody's been saying we're going to be dead since 2002. And here we are 13 years later, and we're still going and we're surviving. And, I mean, that's the thing she hangs her hat on, Frank. But, again, she doesn't really address the tough questions about the future of this company. And now with all these releases and everybody's leaving TNA and this person's not going to be coming back, and they're talking about a possible feud with Global Force Wrestling and possibly an invasion angle. Who's left in TNA to invade, Frank?
Yeah, you know what? I have to agree. I was listening to the Solid Monster the other day, and I think he said it best when he described the GFW versus TNA invasion angle, Steve, the alliance. And I think that's spot money right on. I mean, it's like this, man. You have no TNA originals left in that company. They've got, you know, Bobby Roode's gone. They got rid of James Storm. He's gone. Austin Aries is gone. I think even Magnus is gone. I think Magnus is actually – isn't he doing something for GFW now? I believe
yes,
he is.
Yes, he's booked. Yep, yep.
So outside of maybe Abyss and Mike Tenay, the originals are gone. I mean, that's it. So it's like when you think about the concept of a GFW versus TNA invasion, it's not very interesting at all. I mean, it was interesting a little bit maybe before because of the outside talent that they could have used, like an AJ Styles, Young Bucks, whoever. But now, I mean, TNA is at death's door, and people just don't get that. And I'm sorry to all the TNA fans out there, but you have to come to grips with the situation. It's a done deal. It's finished. I mean, everybody was blasting Dave Meltzer. I mean, we came up here and defended Dave Meltzer on the podcast when the story first broke because we knew Dave Meltzer wasn't full of shit.
He's a very credible guy.
Very, very credible guy. And the one thing that we asked, you know, we said this, and I even said it myself on our YouTube channel with a little video that I did up there, was simply this. Why hasn't Dixie Carter or anybody from TNA, Bob Ryder, Mike Tenay, anybody, how come they haven't come out and denied the story? The only thing they could have done was come out and said, hey, this is not true. We're on Destination America. We're going to be on Destination America for the foreseeable future. We're good with our television partner. And that would have been a done deal. They never have done that. And now from what I read this morning on Gerwig.net is pretty much what Dave Meltzer said it was going to be.
Yeah, he was spot on.
Right.
Where's the apology to Dave Meltzer?
There ain't going to be an apology.
They were threatening they're going to go after these media sites for reporting this. For what?
Right.
Dave Meltzer's, I mean, Frank, we've been following wrestling for a long time. Nobody is as credible as Dave Meltzer in
right.
the wrestling business, period.
Right.
Not the other clowns that think they're the big wigs out there. The number one source for wrestling information since I've been following wrestling in the 80s has always been Dave Meltzer. Now, Dave Meltzer, right 100%? Nobody's right 100%.
No.
But generally, if Dave Meltzer reports it, you can pretty much take it to the bank. And Dave Meltzer's not going to put his reputation on the line if he doesn't have credible sources telling him that they've made the decision to pull Impact Wrestling from the lineup. And again, where is the accountability from Dixie Carter over the Vince Russo situation where she basically loses a television deal because she's hiding that Vince Russo is working for the company? Where's her accountability for that? Where's her accountability for this email scandal now? Allegedly, where she emails the head of Destination America and she's not happy with the numbers that's being reported. Where's the accountability just in this business today? I mean, you see interviews with WWE talent. You'll even see interviews occasionally with Vince or Stephanie. But when they do these fluff pieces, they don't ask them any hard questions. When John Cena does an interview, is he ever asked a hard question? Does anybody ever ask John Cena when they have an interview or Randy Orton, you know, I remember WWF. I remember when you guys were really popular that everybody was talking about wrestling. Everybody had wrestling shirts on everywhere we went. Does anybody ever ask John Cena, what about these declining ratings today? Does anybody ever ask Vince McMahon when he does an interview? If he's interviewed with Muscle and Fitness or whatever, when showing off his big pecs, Has he ever asked about declining ratings or the lack of character development? Or where are stars like The Rock and Stone Cold? Where's the new cornerstone talent for this product to continue on in 2015, 2016? I never see it.
No. It just, you know, honestly, today, the superstars are different than they were during the Attitude Era and then during the Hulkamania, you know, heyday. It's just a different animal today. It's just a different, you know, different breed of superstar. And I think that's what you get here. I mean, you know, it's just it's all a work in progress. You know, they brought up, you know, Kevin Steen to the main roster, and I think he's been firing off on all cylinders as probably the top heel. I mean, you know, honestly, I think the guy is outdoing Seth Rollins, in my opinion. But
which I will say, Frank, I think that's one of the best things I've seen WWE do in a long time.
Yeah.
He's already in main eventing house shows.
Right. And I
that's, you know, awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I plan on going to see them in a couple of weeks when they come out here to Cali. But I think that it's still a work in progress. It's time for WWE to kind of trim the fat there a little bit with some of these guys that just are not ever going to get over. You know, they have something there with Kofi Kingston and New Day, and they're squandering it.
Dolph Ziggler.
I mean, I don't know, man. You know, I'm kind of, to be honest with you, I'm kind of tired of Dolph Ziggler.
They've totally missed the boat with this guy.
I think they missed the boat with Dolph Ziggler, but, you know, honestly, Dolph Ziggler is a hell of a seller, but that is, you know, he's never really improved on the mic. He's never really, you know, I mean, outside of, I mean, what the hell is Dolph Ziggler supposed to be?
Again, whose fault is that, though?
How about somebody
asking Vince or Trips about the creative process in WWE?
Right.
Does anybody ever ask him those questions?
No.
I mean, I don't want to sit here and blame the talent, because I don't blame the talent. I mean, we're just talking, I get, you know, Seth Rollins and Ambrose are not really lighting it up. I'm not sure anybody would light it up right now. It's the lack of creativity in WWE. I mean, they have 3 hours of Raw every week.
Right.
I don't see any creativity with Raw. I don't see any creativity with SmackDown. I mean, it seems like all their efforts are with NXT, which is good. I mean, you have to produce the stars of tomorrow, but what about the stars of today, Frank?
Well, you know what? When it comes to NXT, I think even the biggest NXT fan out there will admit, like I will admit, NXT most times is hit and miss. I mean, you only watch it for specific people. Like, you'll watch it for, you know, Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens or Adrian Neville. I was watching it to see Sasha Banks, to be honest with you. But, I mean, it's just hit and miss, you know. I mean, it's a good brand, but, okay, a lot of the big stars that they had on NXT are now going to the main roster. They just brought up Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks this past Monday to Raw. You know, Kevin Owens is on Raw. Neville is on Raw. I mean, what the hell are you going to do on NXT? You got Hideo Itami out. You got, you know, Samoa Joe here and there. You got, you know, Finn Balor. Finn Balor is probably, you know, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe are pretty much the last two big guys to be called up to the main roster when it happens.
How about somebody asked Vince McMahon about 3 hours? And remember Stone Cold asked Triple H about 3 hours?
Right.
What did he say? Go back to 2 hours.
Well, but...
Oh, he'd like to see him go back to 2 hours.
Well,
how about somebody ask Vince, don't you think your product is being oversaturated with 3 hours of Raw every week?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing. It all comes down to dollars and cents. It all comes down to money. That's the reason
right.
why they have that. That's the reason why they have that third hour. It's all about money. You know, if they could get a better television deal with 2 hours, then I'm pretty sure they would take it. Because it's a hell of a strain to, you know, it's a hell of a strain on the writers. You know, the writers suck ass anyways. But it's a hell of a strain on the writers when you have to come up with, you know, 3 hours of compelling TV every week, plus do 2 hours of SmackDown, plus you have, you know, pay-per-views that they have to do. I mean, like I said, man, you know, then it's like, you know, the talent that you have to work with. Like I said, Samoa Joe and Finn Balor are the last two big guys that are going to be called up to the main roster. And then what are you going to do in NXT after that? Who's going to be? I mean, I get your point of where the superstars today, but what is going to happen to NXT once they call up Samoa Joe and Finn Balor? What are they going to do in NXT then? I mean, NXT is really the only thing outside of, you know, Raw that's keeping them really afloat, keeping them, you know, in the public eye. I don't know, man. You know, and we haven't watched Raw. I haven't watched Raw in like 2 months.
So I haven't either.
So I can't. I mean, I've been religiously following Ring of Honor, so I can't comment other than what I see on YouTube about what's going on with Raw. Because it's a kiddie TV show that's not garnered towards me. It doesn't hold my attention. I mean, Brock Lesnar's cool and all, but I don't really see anything all that impressive about Brock Lesnar destroying a car. I don't see it. I mean that was cool in '99 when, you know, Steve Austin would run over cars with monster trucks and all that stuff. But Brock Lesnar ain't no Steve Austin. Let me say this right quick. You know, people might want to, people could compare him all damn day long. Dean Ambrose ain't Steve Austin.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
And I know people are going to say when they listen to this podcast to say, well, you know, I know what you guys are talking about because WWE's making all this money. Why does Vince have to be accountable for anything? He's going to do this conference call. He's going to talk to the investment journals and publications and talk about, well, house show business is this, and the international markets is this, and we got DVD distributions and Blu-rays, etc. We got movie deals with Scooby-Doo, etc. Everything's fine, but it doesn't erase the fact that the lack of creativity in this business and the lack of creativity in this company is staggering. That, you know, week after week, you produce this three-hour show that, my gosh, I don't know how – honestly, I don't know how anybody can sit through a three-hour Raw.
Okay.
Especially anybody like us that used to remember when Raw was a good two-hour show.
Well, you know,
I mean, you remember before they switched to 3 hours, Frank, we would say, man, Raw is so boring, 2 hours.
Right. Well, you know what?
How can anybody watch 3 hours of this?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, too, and I think people out there who listen to the GRP knows what I'm talking about. I remember back in the day, there was a really popular show on an old TNT network called Nitro. And somebody got the bright idea about making it 3 hours. And 3 hours of Nitro, and then 2 hours of Thunder, and then 2 hours of WCW Saturday Night, plus the pay-per-views. Like, my God, WWE is making the same mistakes that WCW did. I thought Vince was better than that. I thought Vince was smarter than that.
Thought he's a creative genius.
He survives. Vince is the surviving promoter is what he is. He is a survivor. He just, you know, he wiped out the territories. He took all the talents from all the different territories. He, you know, took on the Turner and beat him. At least that's what they'll tell you. But Vince is a smart guy. I'm not going to question Vince being a smart businessman. I mean, he built an empire, a global empire in the WWE. But at the same token, it's like, acknowledge the fact that your product is bland and boring. But I will say one thing. The matches on TV today are a hell of a lot better than anything that I saw on the Action Era. I will say that.
That's another argument people make, is the wrestling's better today. Than
the wrestling, I will give them that. It's more athletic today. You have people out there wrestling their ass off, like Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens and all the people out there that say John Cena can't work. I mean, you know what? One thing I will occasionally check out on YouTube is I will check out the John Cena Open Challenge for the U.S. title, because he has really stepped up his game. John Cena has proven that he can actually wrestle. I think that, you know, if you saw the matches he had with Cesaro and the matches he's had with Kevin Owens, the guy can go. And I think people need to put to rest this John Cena can't wrestle shit, because it's really, you know, irritating me. The guy can wrestle. I mean, what the hell does John Cena have to do to get people's respect? People, you know, I mean, come on, man, really?
Yeah, their problems is much bigger than John Cena.
I think so. Yeah.
No, my God.
People harp on Cena. Yeah. They harp on him a lot. I'm like, yeah, I don't see the bigger picture. The shit is boring.
Yes. The show sucks.
Yeah.
Why can't anybody ask Vince, why does your show suck so bad? And I understand from a business standpoint it's better for 3 hours, but at some point, at least from a creative standpoint, that we can do a better two-hour show than three-hour show?
They don't.
I don't know. Maybe it's going to have to be USA Network to say, hey, you know, Vince, let's go back to 2 hours.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. They have, you know, oversaturated the market with their three-hour show. They've oversaturated with SmackDown, Main Event, Superstars. Now you have Tough Enough, which Tough Enough has been a complete – failure.
Total Divas,
Total
NXT,
NXT,
all this stuff.
Swerved. Yeah. You got so much, just too much WWE. That's just
too much crap.
That's just all WWE. We're not talking about, you know, Impact Wrestling or Ring of Honor or anything else. We're just talking WWE. Well, we can't really say Global Force, so they don't have a TV deal outside of when they're, you know, piggybacking off TNA.
Well, they can draw 100 people to a house show.
Yeah, well, yeah.
At least that's what it looks like in their pictures.
Right.
Which we'll get to Global Force here, you know, coming up. But I just like to see somebody on this next conference call ask them something about the creative process and who is hiring these clowns to write creative. I mean, I know we're in this PG era and we can't push the envelope anymore, which seems backwards these days with all that's going on in the, you know, the real world, Frank, with Confederate flags and Bruce Jenner and Bill Cosby and things like that. But can we get a little more edgy, just a little bit? Can you give the show just a little bit of flavor?
Well, no, we can't, see, because we're too busy with Kevin Dunn and his shaky cam, and we're too busy with having Brock Lesnar destroy cars and throw doors out in the audience and all that type of stuff. You know, we don't have time for puppies anymore. We have time for Muppets and shit. So that's just the bottom line of what's going on there.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, Frank, we've been on a break here, a little sabbatical from the podcast, but something's not changed is our sponsors. And if you enjoy the GRP and you like to support us, go to ProWrestlingTees.com, type in Gerwick. You can go to our GRP store, Gerwick.net. Three great shirts still, Frank, that people can buy, including the very popular NWO style. And you can also buy a white Gerwick.net t-shirt. And also tell them about Audible Trial.
Yeah, you're right there, Steve. AudibleTrial.com/Gerwick.net is the place to go. You can go to the AudibleTrial.com/Gerwick.net today. You get a free audiobook. Just use our exclusive URL, and you get a free audiobook, and you get to keep that audiobook even if you don't keep the service, which I don't understand why you wouldn't want to keep the service. It is tremendous. I'm actually a paid subscriber. I actually kept it, and it all started with a free trial using the Gerwick.net URL. So check it out today, audibletrial.com/Gerwick.net.
And I understand, too, if you're broke right now and a lot of people are feeling the financial hurt, I see the unemployment rate. They tell you it's 5%, something like that, or 6%, whatever they currently claim. But 93 million Americans are out of work. So if you're one of those people out there that are broke or can't afford to buy a t-shirt today or try the Audible Trial offer, just spread the word about the GRP. Go on social media. I mean, social media is a great tool to spread the word. And just tell them that GRP is not the usual wrestling podcast, that we tell it like it is. We hang everything out. We don't sugarcoat anything on here. That we truly are the podcast that tells it like it is. So if you can tell people on Facebook, on Twitter, any other social media platforms out there, you know, text your friend. Say, hey, you know, I listen to GRP, and these guys sound like they know what they're talking about. And that's how we're going to grow, is spread the word of mouth, and we would appreciate that very much.
Absolutely.
So we always do appreciate your support here at the GRP. And, you know, another topic, Frank, since we've been gone, was the situation with a couple WWE Hall of Famers, which seemed to be very unusual. Roddy Piper, of course, has a podcast. Stone Cold Steve Austin had a podcast. Allegedly, there was a podcast that Roddy Piper did that ruffled some feathers with Steve Austin, and Roddy Piper actually claimed that Steve Austin had his podcast removed from the network they were on. And we saw also as a result of that, Frank, the WWE pulled Roddy Piper's Legends deal. Now, you heard the podcast in question. What exactly is going on here, Frank?
Pretty much what it sounded like to me was I listened to the Roddy Piper podcast, which I have to tell you right now, it is really a boring train wreck. Will Sasso from Mad TV fame, he was on there doing his impression of Stone Cold Steve Austin. He pretty much, you know, I guess Roddy Piper thought that he was doing some, you know, innocent ribbing there, but it quickly turned a little personal, in my opinion. I mean, they were talking about how Austin no-showed WrestleMania and how he wasn't there, and pretty much, you know, talking about how Austin, you know, took his ball and went home, you know, that type of stuff. So I guess Austin kind of got upset about that And, you know, I guess he contacted the podcast and wanted to have the show taken down. And Piper got pissed about that. Piper, I guess, went to podcast one and said some shit. And they ended up, he ended up leaving. Now, Stone Cold Steve Austin has denied that, you know, he had Roddy Piper's podcast removed entirely from podcast one, but that Piper himself quit. And that's the story right now that's going on. And I think right now it's just pretty much what we're having here is Roddy Piper trying to save face. If I have to stick with somebody on this one, Steve, if I have to side with somebody here who I think is actually telling the truth about the situation, I'm probably going to have to go with Steve Austin.
I just think people need to contact Podcast One and tell them to put the GRP on there.
We could do that. Yeah, we could do that.
We can negotiate.
We can negotiate. I mean, I believe that's what that's the reason why we were on sabbatical the last couple weeks. We were, you know, negotiating with different networks about picking us up.
All those offers, you know, Vince calling him, but hey, why don't you put the GRP on the WWE Network?
Exactly. We had all those offers. We had an offer from we had an offer from Dixie Carter. Dixie Carter says, "Hey, Frank D and Steve, you guys come up there and do a podcast on Thursday, July 16th, and we'll pay you in December for it." So that's the reason why we're up here today.
Gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Right. Well, we'll gladly pay you in December, if you do your podcast today talking about TNA. So that's why we're here. Can't wait for that big check in December.
And you, as usual, Frank, if we're going to do a TNA podcast, we'd have to, you know, talk very glowingly about that company right now.
Yeah, but we can't do that because then we'd be coming here and we'd be full of shit and lying, just kind of how we were full of shit about that Dixie Carter contacting us about doing a podcast. People, it's just we're just playing around because, you know, these type of things usually get out and people, you know, like to sue people. That's what they do. So, you know, we're just kidding.
I think our offer still stands. Anybody from TNA wants to come on this show and really address these issues. And, you know, we'd love to have Dixie Carter on the show.
Well, you know what? I mean, who's left to come on the show from TNA? To be honest with you. I mean, who's left?
I don't know. That's a good question. They have a couple of their executives leave.
That's right.
You know, if they don't start paying their production staff, they're going to have no production.
Well, you know, they just signed a contract with a new production company. So
okay,
all these people that have, you know, been complaining about not getting paid, well, let's get rid of these assholes and let's sign up another company. That's pretty much what it is.
These guys are going to leave because we don't pay them.
Right.
Let's hire somebody else.
Exactly. So screw you. You know, screw them. Let's bring on the Harris brothers, you know, with their SS tattoos, and let's bring them on, and they can run production and whatever. And I like that story I heard weeks ago about, you know, telling the production crew, if you guys don't want to be here, you know, you can leave. Just shake our hand. You can leave. So – hey, it is what it is. So bottom line is that TNA got rid of their current crew because the current crew was, you know, had something called bills, and they need to eat. So they were complaining about not getting paid, and TNA decided, you know what, let's pay them off, and let's just hire new people that we don't have to pay them either.
How selfish. They actually expected to get paid?
I know, right? I mean, you go out
My
there.
Gosh,
and
come on, man.
There,
it's TNA.
You go out there and do a damn job. And hell, I mean, what the hell were they thinking? I mean, actually wanted to get paid money. Shit.
Work as a volunteer. I mean, this is TNA.
Exactly.
How dare they expect to be paid for their services? My gosh.
But, you know, the question
the
is.
Gall.
The gall. The gall. Yeah, there's like the gall of these people actually wanting to get paid. But I wonder, has Jeff Hardy missed a payday?
Or Kurt Angle?
Probably not.
The big guys don't miss paychecks. It's
right, because I mean, but without the production team, there would be no production of Impact Wrestling.
There's no show.
There's no show.
Production.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
But people don't see the production staff, so they say, "Heck with these guys."
Right. Only people who saw the production staff are, you know, people who came up there and actually talked about it, like the Ultimate Warrior.
And you know, it's interesting because I just saw. Basically, they're saying with the TV situation now, if they're going to be losing TV, they basically acknowledge Dave Meltzer's story now that, you know, they've let all these guys go. James Storm is gone. We talked about the names, Austin Aries, etc., Bobby Roode. Now the question would be, now that they've gotten rid of a lot of their higher-priced talent, When do they say goodbye to Jeff Hardy? When do they say goodbye to Kurt Angle? Because those are probably the two biggest guys. I get what Matt Hardy's there. I think at some point they just say goodbye to those guys as well.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they're good. They got to keep some people around here. And, you know, I just remembered right now, they actually do have an original TNA guy left there, and that's Eric Young.
Yes, Eric Young.
Eric Young is still there. I like Eric.
Well, one thing
I like Eric Young.
You know, one thing they can't be too happy about was they, of course, switched the title because Kurt Angle is going in for surgery, which we're hearing surgery today, actually. So I wish Kurt Angle
speedy recovery.
Success in his rehab from surgery, which is never fun.
Absolutely.
But they switched the titles to EC3, which, I mean, Frank, they have to put the title on somebody.
Right.
You know, people were critical of when Eric Young had it. But they went with EC3, and of course we ran the poll at Gerwick.net, got over 1,000 responses. You know, EC3 captures the TNA championship. And 70% said thumbs down. And I don't know, Frank, if you're switching the championship from Kurt. I mean, Kurt's leaving, he's got to have surgery. I mean, who are you gonna put the belt on? You got Storm leaving, Aries leaving. Rude leaving. I mean, who are you going to put the championship belt on?
You know what? I don't know why people would actually vote thumbs down for EC3 getting the belt. I actually think that was a very good move, a smart move by TNA. The guy is undefeated. So why wouldn't you put the strap on? I actually like that move very much. I think EC3 is a very charismatic guy. I think that, you know, he's very, very good for TNA. So why not have put the belt on? I don't get why people would, you know, put thumbs down with that one. You know, I think he's a guy who should have been world champion a long time ago, in my opinion.
And the question would be, did WWE miss the boat with him as well? I mean, there's another guy. You know, I'm running the poll currently at GirlWeek.net about Justin Gabriel, who I thought was a pretty good talent in WWE. Did WWE miss the boat with EC3?
You know what, man? It's hard to tell. We don't know because. NXT, I don't know.
If EC3 is in Seth Rollins' position right now, does much change?
No, I think EC3 would fit right in there, to be honest with you.
I mean, does the product get any better with EC3 instead of Seth Rollins?
No, the product doesn't get any better with Seth Rollins as champion. The product doesn't get any better with Dean Ambrose as champion. It doesn't get any better with Roman Reigns as champion. It's still going to be a bland, stagnant product. I'm going to just keep it real here. Okay, it doesn't matter if people can cheer to the hills for Cesaro. That doesn't mean that Cesaro is going to move ratings. That doesn't mean that Cesaro is going to put, you know, asses in the seats. That doesn't mean anything. This is the reason why we have to keep going back to the Attitude Era. I mean, everywhere you look, Steve, it's Attitude Era, Attitude Era, Attitude Era. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like now, I mean, it was a big, you know, a big deal the other day when the 2K16 video game cover came out and Steve Austin's on the cover. And people are like, well, that cover should have been for Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns or somebody. And I'm like, well, I from what I understand, they're going with an Attitude Era story, which is what they've already done with WWE 2K13 that came out a few years ago. But nonetheless, they're going with an Attitude Era story here, and they put the biggest star of the Attitude Era on the video game cover. And that just kind of shows you what WWE thinks about Seth Rollins and thinks about all these other guys. I mean, here's the bottom line. If these guys were so over and they were so big stars, they would have made the video game cover. And that's not really a WWE decision. It's a video game decision, but WWE, I believe, probably has final say-so, final word on who gets on the cover. I would assume that they do.
That could be a legitimate question to ask Vince McMahon at the investment meeting.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you have all these young guys that you're pushing, which is the right way to go, but, you know, you put this video game cover out and you put a guy who's retired.
Right.
Is that an indictment on Seth Rollins? Is that an indictment against Randy Orton or John Cena or somebody that's currently on the roster?
You know what? I mean, they could have released two different covers.
It definitely implies that by putting Steve
I think it does. I mean, they could have released two different video game covers. I mean, I think John Cena was on the cover last year. I think maybe, I believe, I'm not sure, I think The Rock might have been on the cover of the game the year before. Don't quote me on that. But, yeah, I mean, you would think that the current WWE superstar would be on the game cover, or they could have done like they used to do back in the day, and they could have just put multiple guys on the cover of the game. They could have had a Dean Ambrose on there, Seth Rollins in the front, Roman Reigns on the side, you know, Kofi Kingston, all these different guys. They could have had all these guys on there. But they went with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like I said, once again, that shows you, okay, they think that Austin is going to move units. They think if people go look at the video game, they're like, oh, who the hell is this guy?
I don't blame the video game company. I just wonder from WWE's perspective is...
Of course.
Wouldn't you want to have Seth Rollins on the cover? He's the WWE champion, right?
I would think so, but they don't. Did you see the trailer for the video game? Did you happen to see that?
I did not.
Oh, it was actually pretty interesting. The trailer starts off with a guy digging in the desert, and it turns out the guy digging is Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you know he's digging up the Smoke and Skull Championship.
Oh boy.
So it's actually a pretty cool thing. So yeah, but hey, Stone Cold Steve Austin basically has stated that he will not be wrestling next year at WrestleMania 32.
Shocker.
Yeah.
That's what I've been saying for like 3 years.
Shocked the shit out of me. I couldn't believe it.
Every time this rumor comes up, I always say he's not going to come back.
Right, but the good news is that. The rumor mill has been going all day about this one here, about the supposedly...
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert, absolutely. big time spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
Big time spoiler here, that supposedly, maybe next Monday on Raw, we're going to see the Dead Man, The Undertaker.
Oh my gosh.
Right, and we're also hearing that at SummerSlam, we're going to see Sting and The Undertaker make appearances at the show.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what they're saying.
In public, if you will.
Wow.
So.
Well, finally. Maybe finally we'll get the dream match we wanted to see.
Maybe Sting and Taker might get it on at SummerSlam, but not at WrestleMania.
That's fine by me.
Yeah.
Because WrestleMania is not what WrestleMania used to be anyways.
No. And then we can't – I mean, I don't even know why the hell they call it WrestleMania anymore. They used to call it Sports Entertainment Mania.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because they hate the word wrestling. Vince doesn't like the word wrestling, so why the hell do you have it? Honestly, it's like – that. Isn't that some, like, real hypocritical shit? Like, you know, like, has anybody ever thought about that? That's, like, real – that'd be a question. Hey, Vince.
Yeah.
Hey, Vince, I got a question for you. You said on the Stone Cold podcast – that what Steve was out there doing, even though he's telling you that he was wrestling, oh, you weren't wrestling, Steve, you were entertaining. Well, if he was entertaining, what the hell is the point of WrestleMania? Like, where do you get WrestleMania? Where does that come from? What do you change your name to? Sportsmania or some shit? Like TNA was going to call the pay-per-view years ago called, you know, they were going to call it Fuel. You know,
What was that leaked document about Vince McMahon's instruction for the announcers?
Yeah.
He doesn't really want to use like wrestling terms anymore.
He doesn't want to.
Don't call it wrestling. It's not wrestling.
Right.
I don't know what they do in the ring, but let's not call it wrestling. How about just World Entertainment Entertainment?
Right. I'm really surprised they still call it. The move the choke slam. I'm really surprised they still call it. I'm surprised they haven't changed the name to the neck throwdown, or some lame shit like that.
It'd be the entertainment slam.
Yeah. We don't want. Hey, listen. Undertaker. We don't want to call it the tombstone anymore because that's synonymous with death. I mean, your character is synonymous. Well, I mean, what exactly is your character today anyways? I mean, what are you? So we don't want to call it anymore. We don't want to call it a tombstone. We just want to we want to call it the drop is what we want to call it. You know, shit like that.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. Like, we don't – like listen, we don't want you guys to say Gerwig Report Podcast. We want you to say GRP because it sounds hip. Okay? That's what we want you to do.
Until somebody says, what does GRP stand for?
Well, hey, listen, WWE doesn't go by WWE anymore, right? or excuse me, they used to go by World Wrestling Entertainment, but now it's just WWE. They did the same thing, like when, you know, KFC changed from Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, then they just went KFC. Same
right.
thing. WWE just trying to, yeah. you know, trying to be cool. Even though if you sue their asses, the document will say World Wrestling Entertainment.
And everybody is suing their asses lately, so.
Yeah, they sure are.
Gosh. The lawsuits aplenty out there.
I'm gonna sue them, too, for all the years of bullshit that they've made me watch.
Well, Frank, you have free will. You don't have to watch it.
Steve, I don't have any free will. They've owned me since 88. I don't have any free will anymore.
Frank is a diehard.
Yeah, they make me buy their
wrestling fan.
They make me buy their merchandise. They make me buy the DVDs. They make me buy their damn replica belts. They send me all kind of fan council surveys. They've owned me for all these years, Steven. I just can't give it up. So I'm going to sue them because this is about time I get something for all these years of entertainment.
I guess if you can sue McDonald's for having too hot of coffee,
right.
Maybe you can sue the whip for years of boredom.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for, years of boredom. Yeah, I want to sue you guys for anything that has to do with the McMahon-Helmsley era. That was bad to you.
You know, we talked about something that we do like, and that, of course, is that Kevin Owens is in the WWE main event. I mean, I've been seeing house shows where him and Cena are working – on top, which I think is terrific. I've always liked Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor. Something I also like, of course, you said you've been watching Ring of Honor, Frank, is that Jay Lethal won the ROH Championship. And, you know, there's a guy, Frank, that I think TNA really missed the boat with. He was super over, had that machismo thing going, the Randy Savage parody. And great to see that Jay Lethal has been rewarded in ROH with the ROH Championship.
Oh, Jay Lethal is just phenomenal talent. If anybody wants to go and see a classic Jay Lethal moment, you got to go back to when he had his face-off between him and Ric Flair on Impact. That was funny stuff. I mean, he had that down pat. You know, listen, I know there's a lot of people out there that are fans of Damian Sandow and the whole Macho Mizdow character, whatever the hell he's doing. Jay Lethal is the best at that, period. I mean, you can't touch him. So I'm glad to see that Lethal is in a company that actually appreciates his talents, and he is the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight and Television Champion. So congratulations to Jay Lethal out there.
As we've been saying for a while here, Frank, if you're really upset with professional wrestling or sports entertainment, you know, ROH is on Destination America. That's the show to watch right now.
Exactly. You know, here's the thing. I'm not going to come out here, you know, and just completely – just be negative and just bash TNA. I don't watch shit. That's just what I do. I don't watch it. I can come out here and comment about what's going on in the news, but I just don't watch product. I will tell you this. I actually did on YouTube, by the way. I didn't pay for it. But on YouTube, Steve, I actually did watch a little sampling of Slammiversary.
Really?
Yes, I did. I watched the James Storm versus Magnus match.
I can't wait for that buy rate to come in.
And that was the only match that I watched. That was it.
It's the only match if I cared about.
That's pretty much it. Because I knew James Storm was leaving. I've always been a James Storm fan, so I wanted to see what was happening. I mean, what a bullshit send off. Seriously.
Really.
What a bullshit send-off. Like, these two guys here, Magnus, yeah, Magnus has made some mistakes in the past about talking crap, you know, that he shouldn't have talked, and whatever, bygones are bygones. But you have two guys here who have busted their ass for TNA, and that's the send-off. Yeah, really not even a send-off. No acknowledgement that this is the guy's final match in TNA. Nothing. As you go right to Jeremy Borash in the next segment. I thought that was pretty lame.
Yeah, that's TNA for you,
yep.
Right?
Yep. Hey, did you hear about Vince Russo talking about how
you mentioned his name.
I sure did. he reached out to Dixie and Jeff Jarrett about his working for free, giving his services to TNA for free, and they basically have not replied to him, not called him back.
Why would they?
Do you think they learned their lesson, Dixie? I mean, because Jeff even came on here. Jeff came on here and told us he's not friends with Vince Russo anymore.
Why would Russo want to work for TNA? They don't even have television.
He wants to go and save it creatively. Which basically means
they don't have any TV though after September.
Yeah, well, I mean he wants to creatively go save the company. Is what he wants to
do. House shows?
Yeah, well, you know.
So after September, I mean, what do they really have? I mean, they have the international markets, but I don't know. I guess with these, what, the last set of tapings, they've taped hours and hours of Impact.
Yeah, well, you know what, Steve? They'll be fine. They're going to stay afloat.
So I guess that'll be the new business model, is that you're just going to tape international tapings in the future here?
I guess so.
Unless Dixie can find another television partner.
Right.
Or sucker.
Yeah, you got that right. Television sucker.
300,000 viewers or 350,000
viewers. Yeah, and the thing
whatever
about
it is,
you know, most jobs today, you know, you have to be computer literate to do the job. Somebody needs to tell Dixie, hey, listen, Dixie, next time you send him an email talking shit, don't send it to the person you're talking shit about.
Don't carbon copy it.
Don't carbon copy that, sweetheart. I mean, she.
Well, I tell you what, Frank.
Yeah.
There's 165 million channels on cable.
Mm-hmm.
And if she can't find a home for Impact Wrestling, and I know, you know, now's not the time to negotiate because wrestling is not popular. It's a cycle. But if you can't find a home with all these networks that you found Destination America, who does nothing with wrestling, if you can't find a home for wrestling, for Impact Wrestling, that really shows you where your company is right now.
Well, see, they do a hell of a job with those barbecue shows. So I'll give them that.
I mean, all the junk channels that's on cable. I mean, I got rid of cable.
Hey, TNA, I got a perfect suggestion for you. Perfect. This will work for you. Why not reach out to Hulu or Netflix?
I think we suggested that in the past.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Let's do that.
That's the way everything is going, is on demand. And you can watch it right away on Hulu or
Global Force Wrestling, same thing.
Amazon Prime or whatever it is. Why not use that platform?
Yeah, go to Netflix. If it was on Netflix or something like that, I might watch it. I might actually watch Global Force. A bad thing people out there thought I was talking about I would watch TNA. No, not TNA. I'm talking about Global Force.
Yeah, but EC3 is a champion now.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm going to watch. I said it's a good idea. I said it was a good idea for those people out there who are TNA fans. I turned my TNA card in a long time ago, pal. You know, when they got rid of Styles and they got rid of Kazarian and Daniels and Jay Lethal was gone, and they, you know,
Saban, Shelley,
you know, all the great talents that they have, and now that James Storm is gone and Bobby Roode's gone and Austin Aries gone, the hell with it.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is, if people listen to this show for the very first time, they're going to think we're just TNA bashers.
We're not TNA bashers.
We used to speak glowingly about TNA.
Absolutely. I own TNA. Listen, I got like some 60 VHS videotapes of all TNA pay-per-views, Wednesday night pay-per-views, and when they first started doing the three-hour pay-per-views back in the day. I have all this stuff in my personal library. I have TNA DVDs that I have. I gave up my TNA card because the company is run by complete idiots. And it ain't the talent that's the problem. It's always been the people running it. And if it's the same mindset that was going on over at TNA, it's going to be the same thing going over at Global Force Wrestling. I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
If it was any company that was owned by your dad where you'd have to, you know, meet with the board or the ownership or something and say, okay, how are we doing, Dixie? But you've got TNA and run by Bob Carter, right? So, well, we'll just go on as business as usual. We'll just keep dumping money down the toilet.
Well, I guess if they got money in the blow,
I guess
give some to Frank D.
Maybe they should become sponsors of the GRP here. Put your advertisement right on here.
Yeah,
right?
but if they became sponsors of the GRP, that means I have to come up here and put their ass over like $1 million. And I just
I just can't do that.
I can't say, hey, you know, Awesome Kong ain't fat after all. I can't do that.
I tell you what, man, you want to sponsor our show, that'd be great, but we would never sell out.
I don't know about this either. I wouldn't sell
out.
I would sell in.
How many G's you got there, man?
Yeah, exactly. I'd sell in.
Yeah. See, Bob calls you up and says, I got some green stuff over here.
Yeah,
for
you got some green stuff over there, and I'm not talking about marijuana. I'm talking about money. You got the green stuff over there? Yeah, Frank D will do whatever you want to, except put over TNA. Now, if you want me to come over there and talk about Panda Energy, I'll talk about you all damn day.
Maybe Panda Energy could be a sponsor of the GRP.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Let's put it to the listeners out there. Who would the listeners like to have the sponsor of the GRP be? Would it be like ramen noodles or some shit? You know, Hostess? Yeah, we can get something going on there. I mean seriously, Sparkless Water?
Some days I need Budweiser. Maybe Budweiser could be a sponsor. I don't know.
I don't know.
Jack Daniels?
I don't know, Steve. You mentioned a lot of alcohol there, kid.
Well, I tell you what. If you follow the wrestling business, it's hard not to have a drop or two.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it is. I don't drink.
And I'll have to say, I haven't touched that stuff in a long time. Yeah. But I'm saying, for a sponsorship, if Budweiser likes our GRP here, I could run some Budweiser ads. Although, Budweiser sold out to, a European company now, so.
Yeah, that's what exactly. If any European companies out there want to sponsor sponsor GRP, I'll be happy to put your country over. It doesn't really matter.
Any promoters out there listening, you sell wrestling merchandise,
right.
anything you want us to tout, let us know.
Exactly.
We're open for business.
I'm always looking to sell in.
Yeah, so if you're a sponsor, potential sponsor out there, want to get in contact with us, or you say, I know somebody would be a great sponsor for you guys, let us know.
I mean, hell, we even have no problem being sponsored by, adamandeve.com or some shit.
Now, I don't know about that.
Bottom line. Well, hell, they...
I do have some morals here.
Oh, I don't have any, so...
A crazy story, Frank, was El Patron.
Yeah.
Supposedly booked for this charity show. I think it was a charity show for autism. And they had the show, and for some reason, mystery reason out there, he didn't show up. And then got kind of interesting because the promoter hadn't heard from El Patron, and as far as he knew, he was missing. So, For a short time there, people were actually concerned about his well-being. Where is El Patron? Of course, he's the former Alberto Del Rio for WWE fans out there. But he just kind of disappeared. And I don't know, Frank, what'd you make of this story?
I don't know. I started hearing things that, the other day, Steve, in Mexico, a guy named El Chapo is a big-time drug lord. He escaped from prison. So a lot of people started putting together his escape with the disappearance of Del Rio. So I'm like, holy shit, what are these people drinking? Because what do these two things have to do with each other? So, I mean, apparently, he missed the show a couple months ago too. So I don't know. I hope that Del Rio is doing okay. I hope that he's not. I mean, it's personal, whatever's going on with him. I don't want to go into anything about that or make any kind of speculation of what's going on there. Hopefully everything is cool with Del Rio and he gets back out there in the ring.
So the implication was that Del Rio helped El Chapo escape?
I don't know. I think people may have thought that El Chapo went out to Del Rio or something. I don't know. I don't know, man. I mean, if I'm a big time drug lord and I'm worth over $1 billion, I'm going to be worried about a wrestler.
Boy.
I don't know. By the way, $3.8 million is the reward for the capture of information on the capture of El Chapo out there.
Well, I'm sure the CIA knows where he is.
Oh, they probably do. I don't know.
I'm sure the FBI knows where he is.
Probably do. But they can still give Frank D the money.
I'm sure they had a hand on him escaping.
Oh, I don't know, see, but I want the money.
He's a New World Order, I'm sure, right?
So. Yeah, well, just give me the New World Order money.
Are you enjoying the Gerwick Report podcast?
Give me a hell yeah!
Did you know that every Gerwick Report podcast is archived at Gerwick.net?
Really?
www.gerweck.net.
Really? Really?
Really? The Gerwick Report podcast has interviewed some of the biggest names in the industry. Teddy Long, Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff, WWE Hall of Famers Ron Simmons, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, Jake the Snake Roberts, the Honky Tonk Man, Beautiful Bob Eaton, Rob Van Dam, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Jeff Jarrett, Stevie Richards, Terry Runnels, and more. The Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that truly tells it like it is.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
You know, Frank, while we're getting a little bit off wrestling for a second, what did you make? I mean, we can always talk about wrestling on the show, but I mean, I'm
sports entertainment, Steve.
We like to break out every now and then, and just alluding to El Chapo there,
yeah.
Mexican drug lord that escaped out of prison. But this whole controversy with the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Anybody that follows my Facebook, you know, I got upset and I said, you know, screw TV Land and
you do.
Viacom.
You turned heel. You turned heel.
Jeez, old Pete. I mean, come on, people.
Boss, I hate to tell you this, but I think we've been snookered.
Snookered?
With a capital snook.
Well, so we have. Mm. Well, you're the sheriff, ain't you?
Right.
Arrest them snookerers.
Yeah. No, I'll arrest them. I'll cuff them and stuff them. Mm. I'll cuff them and stuff them like they've never been stuffed. I mean, I'll throw them in that slammer until they vibrate. Mm. I mean, I'm just... On second thought, I'm going to let them off with just a warning.
Has anybody ever watched The Dukes of Hazzard? Has anybody found anything racist about The Dukes of Hazzard? Just the reaction to, oh, there was a shooting in South Carolina. Now we got to take the flag down. Now we got to get rid of the Dukes of Hazzard. Now I'm seeing things on YouTube where black men are going around stealing Confederate flags from people's property. I mean, talk about overreaction. I mean, if everybody watched the Dukes of Hazzard, there's nothing racist about the Dukes of Hazzard. It's a traditional family show. Of a couple farmers in Hazzard County, Georgia, that's fighting corruption, and, you know, they drive a fast orange car. What is this overreaction to, oh, now we got to get rid of everything that's Dukes of Hazzard, get rid of the merchandise, get rid of the TV show? I mean, what is this political correctness garbage, Frank?
I don't know, man. You know, here's the thing, you know, I feel about that. Okay, you know what? Just because the Confederate flag was removed doesn't change the fact that racism still exists in this world. Racism exists. It's always going to exist. So just because you remove the damn flag, it doesn't mean a damn thing. That's just how I look at that. And, you know, I'm in California, and I don't really give two shits about that flag. So I don't really care. But people, the Dukes of Hazzard television show, I used to watch when I was a kid. I don't see anything wrong with the show. I think that was just TV Land that was, you know, backpedaling, Viacom, whatever, backpedaling, and just, you know, succumbing to, well, we're running this show, the General Lee has a Confederate flag on it, so we got to take this off. You know, I mean, I'm really surprised that they didn't just, you know, start blurring the damn car. I guess it would just cost too much money and too much time to just blur the damn car. And I'm really, you know, I'm kind of wondering, as we move forward with this, WWE Network, Tracy Smothers,
Freebirds.
You know, Freebirds used to have Confederate flags on their attire. Is WWE now going to start, you know, blurring out the Confederate flag on their programming? Are we going to blur Michael Hayes' face when he would have it painted up like with a Confederate flag on it? I mean, that's
probably.
And I know there's some people out there, you know, who might be, you know, who might be black and say, well, Frank D, you're a real insensitive asshole. You know, how can you not care about the flag? Because you know what? I have more important things to think about than the damn flag. That's just the bottom line. I mean, it's just a flag. I know what the flag represents to some people. I know what the flag represents to other people. But at the end of the day, it's just a damn flag. There's some people who live in this country that hate the American flag. That'll go flag burning. So, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you can take down a million flags, racism will still exist. That's just how it is.
I can't believe – I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, this political correctness is just totally ridiculous that you know, the Dukes of Hazzard, which was a wholesome family show that would be removed. And maybe I'm biased because I was a huge Dukes of Hazzard fan. But, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, start blurring out the flag that's on top of the car? And the cop cars have a Confederate flag license plate. You're going to blur all that out? And, yeah, what is – I mean, that would probably be a question for Vince McMahon. He's going to have the WWE Network count in the future. Are you going to blur out everything that refers to or is a visual image of the Confederate flag?
Well, you know what? The Big Boss Man has a Confederate flag on his right shoulder, on his uniform. Back during that time when he was part of the Twin Towers and doing his first babyface singles run. We're going to blur that too? We're going to take the time to blur that shit? Really? For what?
Well, the Dukes of Hazzard will turn into when you watch an old WWF show where they have all the logos blurred out.
Right. Well, Dukes of Hazzard right now will probably never see the time of day ever again.
Probably not.
It's going to be in a vault forever.
And this, of course, opens up the can to future shows. It'll be, this is racist, I can't use this term, and this is offensive. Because, you know, Frank, I wake up every day and I'm like, what's offensive today? People are offended by everything anymore.
Yeah, I'm offended by the fact that Bruce Jenner is now calling himself Caitlyn. And, you know, he's out there accepting the damn award, and everybody's, you know, kissing his ass just for coming out and being being a female. But yet back in the day, say if Michael Jackson would have done it, oh, he was gay. Oh, well, you know, he's a pedophile. Whatever.
You know what I'm offended by? I saw this video, Frank. We just had the July 4th celebration. This guy goes on the street and he's asking people, okay, July 4th, what is it? You know, it's Independence Day. Okay, right. It's Independence Day. What does it mean? Where did we gain our independence from? Which country?
Right.
Oh, it was from the South. North from the South, right?
Oh, wow. Where was this video at?
This was like 70. It's like 70% of these people. I mean, it was just a guy. I think it was in California. He just goes on the street and starts asking people. Yeah, California.
Wow.
Yeah, just asking you. I mean, what does Independence Day mean? Who did we gain our independence from? And so many people could not answer the question. I mean, it's like people that don't understand the Earth goes around the sun and not the sun around the Earth.
Yeah, see, I mean, honestly, honestly, the only thing people know about the 4th of July is that they get to pop fireworks.
Oh, my gosh.
That's it. They're not teaching people anything in school nowadays.
No, they're not. That's why you're seeing more homeschooling.
Yeah.
They don't teach the Federal Reserve as private banks set up to bankrupt this country. I'm more offended, Frank, by how come people don't know that we're about $200 trillion in debt and future liabilities, more than the total worth of the entire world, that we're not concerned about that. I'm more offended by that. That all these Americans that just think, oh, Obama, he's great, and I'm not making this into left or right or a Democrat Republican thing, but the problems we have in this world is far more bigger than a flag or Bruce Jenner or whatever he wants to call himself today, even Bill Cosby. I mean, the issues out there, Frank, are staggering. I mean, they passed NDAA during a holiday when nobody pays attention. I mean, that basically tore the Constitution up in pieces. We've got the Supreme Court that's totally bribed. The balance of power is out of control. We've got one guy asking Obama a tough question, and he goes nuts on this reporter. I mean, what's going on in this country is far bigger than a flag or Bruce Jenner.
That's what dominates the news.
So, and you know, Frank, we've kind of glossed over it a little bit. I remember a podcast where we talked about Bill Cosby.
Yeah, I know.
For the most part, we defended Bill Cosby because we thought all these people come forward at the same time to milk Bill Cosby. And now, I guess it turned out when in a deposition in 2005, he admitted he gave a woman a drug so that he could have sex with her. And now I saw his wife Camille say, well, they consented to the drug now too. But, I mean, and that would be another thing, Frank. Anything reference to Bill Cosby is going to disappear in the future as well.
Yeah. You know what? I was actually talking about this with somebody the other night about our defense of Bill Cosby. on that podcast. I think we were talking about Bill Cosby. We were talking about Benoit. But that's what it was. And you know what? Really, honestly, Steve, I really got nothing to say about it. The guy is a liar. You know, the guy is a liar. The guy is a hypocrite. And he's made himself up to be, you know, this great role model. But in reality, you're a sexual deviant, is what you are. So you're no different than, you know, Jared Fogel from Subway, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't support Bill Cosby and any of this bullshit that's going down. And that's just how it is.
Yeah, I mean, we stated opinion at the time. We thought that people were just coming out of the woodwork to smear Bill Cosby. But, I mean, if that deposition is true, which I don't have any reason to think it's not, then there is a guy that's tarnished his career, his whole good name, his career. I mean, Bill Cosby was an institution in this country at one time. I mean, he did all those pudding commercials, and he was everywhere. He was speaking out for the black man, and now, as you said, he's a sexual deviant. Yep. And I'm really disappointed that his wife would defend him. I guess, you know, they've been married forever, but I don't know how you can defend this action.
You can't.
I really don't.
You can't. You can't. That's his problem. That's his career, and that's him. You know, either way it goes, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
No, me either. Real quickly, you know, Frank, going back to wrestling here. You know, Battlegrounds this weekend.
Oh, it is.
I saw that Ryback has an injury. He's off the card now. So the question becomes, what happens to the championship?
Who cares? I mean, seriously, who cares?
really, yeah.
I mean, that Intercontinental Championship doesn't mean anything. You know, I said a couple months ago here on the podcast that all of a sudden you're supposed to make me care about the U.S. title just because John Cena has it. Well, you know what? They've made me care about the U.S. title because John Cena has done a hell of a job rebuilding that belt and bringing it back to prestige while burying the IC title. So it is what it is.
Honestly, Frank, I'm not going to run over the card because I really don't care. Does anybody care about Battleground this weekend?
I don't know.
Honestly?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And, you know, we sit here today that we've talked ad nauseum on this podcast about the network, and we sit here today, we don't have the network, either one of us.
I don't have a network. I'm not going to have a network until they, being the WWE, they add the rest of the damn Nitros. Until then, I'm not having your damn network. I don't want it, don't need it, and when I had it for free, I wasn't even watching it.
Unless Vince gives you Sting versus Undertaker.
Ah, I want the Nitros.
Screw that match. I want the Nitros.
Exactly. I want the Nitros. I mean, yeah, it'd be cool to see Sting, but I want the Nitros.
You know, since we had the last podcast as well, Frank, we've seen some house shows with Global Force Wrestling, and we've seen some of the talent they've been using, and, of course, they've announced television tapings here in the future. I don't know, just, what's your overall opinion right now with Global Force Wrestling? I mean, it's hard for really to comment on it because we've not really seen the product itself. I mean, they've announced a lot of partnerships with a lot of different people, but and we did actually see Jeff Jarrett return to Impact Wrestling, which is one of those few surprises, Frank, they actually were able to keep as a surprise. But just kind of your overall opinion right now, what's going on with Jeff Jarrett and Global Force Wrestling?
I just honestly think that it's two companies that are desperate trying to stay afloat. That's what I think it is. Jeff Jarrett, you know, needs to use the TNA TV while he can to promote Global Force Wrestling. That's what's going on with that. You know, Global Force doesn't have a TV deal. They're going to be taping shows in Las Vegas at the Orleans. I mean, I looked at the card. It doesn't really do anything for me, but they're going to be doing some other shows, so I might make the trip. But that's just my overall take on it, is that it's just two desperate struggling companies trying to stay afloat, helping each other out. But, I mean, let's be honest about it. Jeff Jarrett came on our podcast months ago and said that he hasn't had no conversations whatsoever with Dixie. And I agree with other people. I think that the whole, you know, we love each other is all bullshit. I think that they still got a problem with Jeff Jarrett, and Jeff Jarrett left TNA for a reason.
Yeah, it definitely reeks of being desperate on both ends right now. Because Global Force is running these house shows, and they have no way to promote them. I mean, Twitter and Facebook, and I mean, if you don't follow them on those social medias, you don't even know that Global Force Wrestling isn't running. And I saw a couple of pictures, and I know I mean, we don't want to sit here and bash Global Force Wrestling, but it looked like a TNA stadium show.
Well, you know what?
There's about 200-300 people there sitting there, and they look like they were sitting on their hands.
Yeah, you're being generous. I think it was like 100. But you know what? The moment that I saw the show out there in the stadium with the six-sided ring.
Ah, yes.
That should have been the clue right there of something going on between them and TNA. That was that, and we overlooked it. We just thought that Jeff Jarrett was just using the six-sided ring. We couldn't put it together because I would think that TNA would probably have that six-sided ring probably trademarked, patented, whatever. So it didn't dawn until we saw it, and now we see what it is here of what actually is going on here. And like I said, it's just two companies trying to survive, and they're going to probably do an invasion angle of some sort. I think it's too little too late, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and then, of course, a lot of people were happy that, I mean, kind of out of nowhere, they taped this, because usually they do it at Bound for Glory, is that they taped Jeff Jarrett is now a member of the TNA Hall of Fame.
Right. So what does that tell you if they're taping ahead of time? Usually, like Steve said, Bound for Glory is the time when they do the Hall of Fame, and they, you know, have a dinner and all that, you know, shit they do. Well, they did that in Impact taping. So that'll tell you right there what they think their future is. They don't know. So we might as well just get this out the way right now. And I would think that Jeff Jarrett's induction into the Hall of Fame would have been a bigger deal than that.
I would, too. And then another thing would be, that would say to me they're not sure about Bound for Glory is going to be there. Because if you lose TV in September and you're building up to an October pay-per-view, of course, last year they ran the pay-per-view in Japan that nobody saw.
Right.
So they could run, they could just let the Japanese guys pay the talent. And Dixie don't even fly over there. But it definitely speaks volumes as, you know, what's his future hold? They kind of slapped this together. They taped that Jeff Jarrett is there, be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And the future of the Bound for Glory pay-per-view, I mean, as far as I know, they've not officially announced a date or anything for that. So it's up in the air if they even do that. I guess just be lucky they ran one live pay-per-view this year, because the future of this company is very bleak. They can say, the new business model, Frank, we've eliminated all the big salaries. We're going to live off the international television deals, the UK tour, etc. But, long-term, even if you're a TNA fan, I think it's hard to deny that the future of this company is very bleak.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time before the final nail is in the coffin. You know, I see all the time where people go like, well, you know, you should never wish a wrestling company to die. I'm not wishing for TNA to die. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. They're going to die. We just need to, you know, we need to say, you know, understand that they're going to die. Maybe Global Force Wrestling will take its place. But, I mean, TNA is done. It's been a poorly mismanaged company from day one. Pay-per-view first, then television second. That's not the way you do things. You know, you usually have TV first, and then you build to a pay-per-view.
But, that's why, you know, when they are starting to run these house shows without any television, it seems like the same thing they used to do with the pay-per-views. And maybe the investment's not as big as a house show that it is in a pay-per-view, but still. I mean, nobody knows about Global Force Wrestling right now. That's the sad thing about it. I mean, we had Jeff Jarrett on the show, and he couldn't tell us a lot because a lot of things are still being worked out. But I don't know. Global Force versus TNA is not going to get it done.
No, you
especially
can't.
When Global Force has no TV. Really, right now, neither one has TV in the fall. So, yeah, it reeked of both companies being very desperate. But I guess at least Frank, Jeff Jarrett finally got his due when he's in the TNA Hall of Fame, for whatever that means.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know how you have a TNA Hall of Fame without Jeff Jarrett.
I mean, if you want to be completely honest about it, you know, Jeff Jarrett should have been the first.
And then again, we were hearing reports too, Frank, that AJ Styles turned him down.
Yeah, he did.
So they reached out to him to be the Hall of Fame, and he said no.
Yep. He said that New Japan and Ring of Honor is his commitment, so good for AJ Styles.
Yeah. Since we've had our last podcast as well, Sabu was voted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. I know that one probably surprised you a little bit, Frank. I have to admit, I didn't think he'd make it. And Sabu, of course, was voted in the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him. I think you and I are both a little surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that Sabu is actually so thought they were working because, you know, the doctor has told him to stop wrestling. And he just keeps going. I mean, here's a guy, honestly, that put his body through so much shit. And obviously, really doesn't have any money. Otherwise, he would stop doing it. You know, you put your body through, all that crap in ECW for nothing. I mean, yeah, you have the admiration of the people, but where's the money for your labor? Where's the money with all the scars you have on your body, all the crap you've gone through?
Maybe that's a thought process from fans to say, you know, this guy busted his butt to entertain us, and we'll vote him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So Sabu is in, and of course, this month, vote on Too Cold Scorpio, a guy who I remember you suggested for the WWE Hall of Fame, and right now he's leading. He should be inducted in the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. I think he's a no-brainer, Frank. I think he definitely belongs in.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, this guy was high flying in WCW in the early 90s and was a huge star. So, yeah, he deserves to definitely go in.
Yeah, definitely. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, definitely spread the word on social media, Twitter and Facebook. Frank D still runs a YouTube channel, right?
That's right. YouTube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Been a little bit slow lately on editing content, but that's going to be changing in the next couple of days, so stay tuned for that.
And as usual, you can follow us on Facebook, the Gerwick Report Podcast discussion group. And I know Frank D. still moderates that a little bit, and occasionally throw up an interesting topic here and there.
Yeah, we haven't really been doing anything lately because there's just been nothing going on. But I'm pretty sure that'll change. You know, we'll get back into the rhythm of doing, you know, who you pick matches and all that stuff. So, you know, stay tuned for that.
The podcast is back, so you can start talking about the podcast there on the discussion group as well.
Absolutely. And also, coming up very shortly, we're just trying to work out the actual factuals, but myself and Gerwick.net contributor, Adley Green, we're going to be discussing NWO, New World Order, the wrestling New World Order. We're going to be discussing that. The 19th anniversary, Steve, of the NWO was a couple days ago. So I think that it's fitting that me and Adley are going to do a podcast. We're going to be talking about the entire history of the NWO. We're going to talk about the impact that the NWO had on the business. Pretty much, if it really wasn't for the NWO, a lot of the shit that we have today wouldn't be here. So we're going to talk about that, so stay tuned for that. And we'll be making a formal announcement on the YouTube channel. We'll be making a formal announcement on the Facebook group as when we're going to do that podcast.
Well, sounds good. I'll be looking forward to that as well. And definitely check out ProWrestlingTees.com. The Gerwick page is there. You can check out three great T-shirts that support the GRP and one for Gerwick.net, your source for all your pro wrestling news since 1997, Frank.
That's a hell of a long time, man. It's like, you know, we're talking about the NWO's 19th anniversary. Like, geez, 19 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago, and yet it's still what people are talking about today. Isn't that funny? It's crazy that, you know, people till this day will talk about the NWO, will talk about the Four Horsemen. So it's talking about stuff that happened years and years and years ago. It's so relevant today. So that's very interesting.
So definitely, check out all your pro wrestling news at Gerwick.net. And as well, go to the Gerwick.net page and check out the archives. We have all the previous editions of the GRP there. As well, TuneIn is a great app you can download on pretty much any device worldwide. Any platform you can listen to previous editions of the GRP. And as always, we just depend on you to spread the word about the GRP. And good to be back here, Frank.
Yep, good to be back here. But we needed to take that that long break. So everything is, Copa said, the GRP is back, and we are still the podcast that tells it like this.
Oh, yeah!
The direction the world is going in at the present time. In our world, There will be no emotions except fear, rage, triumph, and self-abasement. There will be no loyalty except loyalty to the party. But always, there will be the intoxication of power. Always, at every moment, there will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy that is helpless.
Daybreak, sun rising, and I'm watching the news. The day's barely started and I'm feeling the blues. Iran's making nukes, North Korea's talking war. Droughts and floods worldwide, genocide in Darfur. The church denies science, hating all things Darwinian. And armed Israeli troops, kill rock throwing Palestinians. Taliban in Afghanistan still on the roll. IEDs blow up Humvees and increase the death toll. The economy's a mess, the banks are a racket. A tisket, a tasket, the hell in a handbasket. I kill the TV cause I can't stand the sound. Man, it's bringing me down, no good news to be found. Fox News is telling lies, CNN won't tell the truth. Big Pharma and their lobbyists bring damage in our youth. I'm not a righteous man, so I gamble and I bet. Though I don't believe in God, I believe in Armageddon.
All right, one last one from the ACLU. We are incredibly disappointed that President Obama signed this new law, even though his administration had already claimed overly broad detention authority in court. Any hope that the Obama administration would roll back the constitutional excesses of George Bush in the war on terror was extinguished today. Is that clear enough for you?
You wanted Bush out of office because you said he wasn't sane. Voted for hope and change, but got more of the same. She's got tears in her eyes, so you hug your mama. She voted for the black guy, Barack Obama. Obama and Bush are the same, and that's a fact. Check out the National Defense Authorization Act. Permission to speak freely, freedom's under attack. But not by jihadists with a bomb on their back. Get your favorite politician suited up with a tie. 30-second sucker sound bites and license to lie. Give up liberty for safety, you should've lose both. And you deserve neither, that's a Ben Franklin quote. Fundamental change, yeah, this is what you wanted. So without a trial, indefinite detention in Guantanamo. Orwellian prophecy tells of a new terror. The great police state, dawn of a new era.
We don't need a Patriot Act, and we certainly don't need to be moving on to the next stage, which is happening right now. Last week or 2 weeks ago, it was passed, and then just recently signed by the president, authorizing the military to arrest American citizens and allowing American citizens to be held indefinitely. That is the wrong direction. We need to reverse that direction.
I don't trust the government. The truth here, I'm sharing it. You ever heard of something called the Tuskegee Experiment? Not talking about the pilots that flew missions overseas. Talking about the government infecting Negroes with disease. Left wing, right wing, black thing, white thing. GOP and Dems want that military might thing. Budgetary cuts, sacrifice education. While the Pentagon plans to continue exploitation of an American version of peace and democracy. With the barrel of a gun, is that not hypocrisy? The Fed keeps on lending and DC keeps spending. The corruption goes on and it's never ending. Epic in its scope like the Bible's Deuteronomy. With debt to the Chinese, destabilize our economy. How will they solve that problem like they've done it before? Profiteers salivate over the thought of the war.
The moral to be drawn from this dangerous nightmare situation is a simple one. Don't let it happen.